Hey, hello, friend. Thanks for tuning in. Aftermarket Podcast Guy here, Carm Capriato, hoping for your safety and well-being. Hey, in this episode, we're talking Tesla, and this is a topic I've wanted to learn more about, as the aftermarket should be a source for service and repairs for this brand. Seth Thorson called, talked to me about it. He's servicing them, and we pulled a panel together to help you fill in the blanks on where does the aftermarket stand as it comes to service and parts for the Tesla. Hey, I bet you know an outstanding shop owner, technician, or service advisor. Now, how would you like to nominate them for a national honor from Apex? Yes, Apex is announcing the annual Service Professional Awards that will be presented at Apex this year, 2020. Nominate a friend or even yourself. Get all the details at aapexshow.com/serviceawards. Hey, I'll put the link in today's episode's show notes. The deadline is July 31st, 2020. You can get a PDF version of the application to see the qualifications needed to nominate. Now, I'm sure every listener to the podcast would qualify for top honors, no doubt. So please make the first move and nominate an outstanding professional. Now, before we jump into this talk on Tesla, ask yourself if you're wowing your customers while keeping your distance. Now, even while staying 6 feet apart, ShopWare's innovative technology will help you move cars through safely and efficiently. Completely digital workflow allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Request a demo at getshopware.com/carm, C-A-R-M. Ain't that cool? I find this discussion with Seth Thorson, Scott Brown, and Matt Fonslow very timely. Many aftermarket pros have discounted Tesla as a brand that we may never service. Now, that is why this is such an important and critical discussion. Get your Tesla on and understand how these guys think and what could be.
I'm not afraid of it. You can't be afraid of the future. Everybody's worried about what's going to happen and auto repair coming to an end, and these cars need to be fixed.
Hey, thanks for being here. Are you watching the new AftermarketWeekly.com live show? Yes, it's a live show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. It's me and Tom Hamm who host it. Every episode is available on the website, aftermarketweekly.com. You're going to have fun, listen to interesting topics. It's kind of in the form of a magazine-style show. It's all aftermarket-focused, and it includes a shop tour. Now, we've been doing shop tours all over the country for the last 9 weeks, and you may just take a great idea from one of them, aftermarketweekly.com. Hey, find the show notes and key talking points for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E552. Not only do Scott and Seth own Teslas, they are working on them in a limited way, but nonetheless, they are learning how to acquire parts and understand what is going wrong with them. My panel feels that we'll be able to play a role in service of Teslas in the future. Hey, welcome everyone. Warm welcome to Seth Thorson, Eurotech, New Brighton, Minnesota, and LMB Bavarian, BMW Tech Support. Seth, how you doing?
Doing all right. How about you?
Based on the background, it looks like you are vacationing.
I am up at the lake.
Good for you. Good for you. And I'm in the studio where I'm trying to stay cool. It's the coolest place here in the office. Scott Brown's with us, Connie and Dix, Claremont, California, CEO of Diag.net. Nice to have you, Scott.
Hey, glad to be here. This is an exciting topic. And so, Seth, which lake, though? Well, you're in Minnesota. That's 10,000 lakes, right?
Oh, it's over 10,000 lakes. We call us the land of 10,000 lakes, but we got over 10,000. I'm on a lake called Rat Lake, of all names.
Rat Lake, yeah. Sounds very appealing.
I mean, R-A-T?
R-A-T, just like the little rodent running around.
Hey, you called me up, Seth, a couple, 3 weeks ago and said, we got to talk Tesla. And I said, I'm game.
I mean, we're servicing them. I got two more in today. We're doing some great work on them. We have a lot of suspension failures on them lately that we've been seeing. We do a lot of door handles. In the northern climates, not pertaining to you, Scott, but in the northern climates, once a year since regenerative braking is so big, you got to pull the brakes and clean the brake calipers because they last so long for brakes that once a year we do an annual brake service. And we've had seven or eight of those scheduled in the last 2 weeks, you know, to get in for service. So, I mean, there's another couple things to touch on with them, but, you know, I'm not sure what Scott's seeing out in California there, the Epic Center of Tesla.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the brake part, because really that's been part of the hybrid mode for a while too, because you've got regen going on. A lot of guys don't even look at that, right? They may peek in there and look at the brake pads and not really worn, but there's a service element there. You've got sliders that are not getting exercised, so you need to get in there and clean that up. But I guess maybe let's go back to like the top here and talk a little bit more about Tesla in general. I mean, their vehicle population is gaining in size. From what I've observed, I know some people that are Tesla owners. I'm an owner.
I am.
But my early, my couple of my colleagues that were early owners, you know, they had excellent customer service experience in the early years, but not so much anymore. And I attribute that to, of course, saturation. It's probably very challenging for Tesla to stay or keep their, you know, service talent, up to date and deliver that stellar service that their customers expect. So I know you reached out to me a few weeks ago, Seth, and to talk a little bit about this. And so, where do you see the industry as far as being able to access service information? I know we can buy, but we can't buy like the access to the scan tool functions and other things that we need. Do you think Tesla is going to at some point work with the aftermarket and try to branch out and help their customers have a better service experience?
Tesla's taken a pretty aggressive stance at saying we're not going to, but I know that NASDAQ has contacted them a bunch. Now, I think the interesting development is May production Model Y and Model 3s now have an OBD2 port with CAN high and low on a DLC connector. Because typically their DLC connectors are behind the dashboard. I know I sent you guys some early documents on DLC locations on their Teslas. Mm-hmm. We're working on some aftermarket scan tools to access them should they not decide to allow official access, that we're ready to march forward with. But we're seeing, we're seeing Tesla be standoffish on it. They're also have a very unique policy that this is an interesting talking point. Carm, you might like this. Scott, we talked briefly on this, but Tesla now has a policy. If you make a service appointment for a in-warranty concern, you are charged upfront a diag fee. If it is proved to be warranty, they waive the diag fee, but you have to sign and authorize for a diagnostic fee for any warranty concern upfront.
So don't be someone who thinks that there's a noise coming out of somewhere. You're going to have to pay to find that out.
If they can't verify it, let's say their tech doesn't verify it, they will charge you the diag. Now, let's say that tech has a bad day or can't find it, you're still paying the diag.
The Tesla has a romance with people. They just want a Tesla. Okay, so you both are Tesla owners. I'm in Buffalo. I see Teslas around here, but there's no place to get them fixed. So I took a big gamble. If I bought a Tesla and I'm from a place that doesn't have any place, what chance am I taking to ever get this thing fixed?
Well, they have mobile service. Actually, I had a guy out to do mobile repair on my vehicle. It was just more of a cosmetic thing, something that didn't get installed from the factory. And the tech came out to install it and put it on. And I talked to him for a little bit. He used to be a Ford tech. But they're real big on a lot of the small stuff. They can go out and do remote service on. But anything big, where they've got to drain fluids or, maybe recharge air or whatever, suspension work, that all has to go into a service center. But, let's go back to the diag part. It is kind of an interesting dilemma. I can see that maybe that is strategic to help discourage people from just complaining about stuff, right? Some people complain about stuff that may be normal, normal operation. But then on the other side, they may have a unique problem where it's making a noise and it only does it in certain conditions or whatever. And if they take it and drop it off and don't have that good fluent communication, the tech may tag out for a drive around the block and go, oh, I couldn't, no problem found. And then he just kicks it off. And now the customer's paying a fee, and I can see that can turn into a negative experience. And that, you know, puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth. And I know that Seth had, a service advisor had an experience like that where he took it in and they couldn't figure it out, charged him and what have
twice.
You. Explain what actually happened there.
So my service manager, district manager of my two site locations has a Tesla Model 3. It's got a squeak. And we're seeing this on all the Model 3s. And Tesla says, we can't find the problem. Well, one of the things I used to do at BMW a lot was NHV diagnosis, noise, harshness, vibration diag. So I said, well, I'll take a look at it. Took me about 20 minutes to find out lower control arm, dry socket, squeaking. I can bounce on the door sill, reproduce it, put my stethoscope there, and I can prove what's going on. So he had paid two diagnostic fees. And he's all upset. And I said, well, you got to be nice about it because there is no the problem with Tesla service is there is no escalation. You are dealing with the OEM. So you can't go to a different dealership. You can't go above them and call the manufacturer because the manufacturer will defer back to their service centers, which are an extension of Tesla, which is their whole model without dealerships. It's a different model. So he had no escalation other than the find-in. They finally found it. They did credit some of the diag back to him once they finally found the problem. But they certainly didn't want to listen to an outside source tell them how to fix their cars. Since then, we have had four other Tesla owners on our local Tesla forum reach out with similar experiences and asking if I can diag the problem and document it so they can get their stuff covered.
I love it.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I think he probably could have got 100%. I'm just going to predict that he could have probably got 100% back if you would have wrote up a nice report and maybe demonstrated, you know, where they could do a better job, you know, not telling them how to do their job, but maybe, you know, demonstrate, hey, you know, you're the professional. This is the way you address the issue. You've been in business for years and years. And these guys are freshmen, right? They're a freshman service experience. So, you know, I know if that happened to me, you know, I was charged and here these guys just didn't do their due diligence and identifying the problem. And I've got a reliable service center that found it. I'd go back after them for a refund on the diag fee. Geez, that's kind of ridiculous.
He's tried, but he's also trying to be nice because they're the only spots we can buy parts from. And if they get a wild hair, we can't even buy parts. So we're in a unique situation of you have to play nice.
How long does it take to get parts?
3 or 4 phone calls. Maybe they return a phone call. You're lucky if you can get an email of somebody in the parts department. Then you have to drive down and pick it up. There is zero warranty on parts sold over the counter. There's a 12-month – Tesla gives a 12-month warranty on the parts sold over the counter. Now, their MCUs that are failing, which hot-button topic for Tesla MCUs – they just upped their warranty to 2-year 24.
So I think the parts are that's a great segue. So let's just talk for a minute. How do you look up parts? How do you know what part number you need? What do you do?
So we buy Tesla info from teslaserviceinfo.com. Mm-hmm. And it's $3,500 a year, or whatever for Tesla info. And there's an EPC and you can look up your own parts. And then we email our parts contact that we've cultivated inside Tesla with the part numbers. They create a actual service invoice because they don't even have a retail parts invoice system. Tesla doesn't even exist for that. They create a service invoice. They send you a service invoice. You pay it via the app, and then you get your pick up your part.
So tell me a little bit more about – since you have an app because you have a car, right, is that how you're buying the part?
Yeah.
You're buying it through the app on the car?
Pretty much is what they're doing for me. Okay. Otherwise, they can send you an email. But for me, they're sending it through my Tesla app. It's on my Tesla account.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Shopware's shop management system allows customers to review, approve, and pay for repairs all in one place. Now, one, your customer views their outstanding balance. Number two, they are prompted to submit payment directly through their invoice. And three, Shopware's secure portal facilitates payments right there without having to open another browser or remember another password. It's really that simple. Shopware is your complete solution for contactless service. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. Hey, this year Apex will be more of an aftermarket homecoming celebration than ever before. Not only will it have all kinds of exciting new things waiting for you, but most importantly, Apex 2020 will be where industry colleagues, friends, and family reunite after this time apart, and together it will drive the industry forward. I know I'm looking forward to it more than I ever have because I get to see all of you. Until we get there, keep yourselves and your families and your businesses healthy and safe. Now, there's no place like home, and we can't wait to welcome you home in November at Apex 2020. The power of being there, November 3rd through the 5th at the Sands Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. Register now at AAPEXShow.com. Scott, is this all what the future could possibly be? They're staying so strong in how they're doing things? Or are they making this huge mistake? Because, let me see, buy a GM because you can get it fixed anywhere. Buy a Ford because you can get it fixed anywhere. Buy a this. I mean, the aftermarket can fix anything.
There are people avoiding Tesla because of it. On our local, we have EV forums and Tesla forums, which I'm active on. We have 2,800 people on our Tesla forum in Minnesota, and the service center can't deal with them all. They're 3 weeks out. They have two service centers in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think to answer your question, Carm, I think we're in a period where this company is still growing, right? They never even modeled out what are they going to do about supporting the aftermarket or aftermarket channels, and you know, Seth is living through it right now. We've only got a few Tesla customers, and all we're doing is tire rotations and minor cabin filters and that kind of stuff. But I know that we're going to get to a point where we're going to need more support. I know there is a warehouse nearby through one of the local colleges here. Rio Hondo is a Tesla Start program where they do training. And they told me that they just opened up a Tesla parts distribution warehouse in Pomona, which is the next town over from me. So I'm kind of frustrated that I hear Seth saying, oh, he's got to buy it through his app, which sounds ridiculous. But that's just the way that you got to get around the current, the current issue. I really hope that Tesla, realizes that, hey, they need to develop a channel and help support the aftermarket and help their, really, because they're helping their support their customers, right? This is what GM and Ford and Toyota said a long time ago. They said, we know we can't service all the cars that we sell, so we want to make sure our customers are going to be able to get their car fixed and that they want to buy another car, another Toyota, down the road.
They can't make them fast enough based on the demand. Maybe there's the chicken or the egg issue here, and enough said about that. But Seth says TeslaInfo.com, $3,500 a year. Is that kind of an open for people in the aftermarket?
It's in line with some other OEMs. It's a little bit more than some OEMs, but it's in line. It's probably a little bit on the high side, but it's in line.
Irrelevant of the price, the fact of the matter is that they're willing to share, to open this info.
They didn't do it willingly.
No, that was a result of the right to repair in Massachusetts.
Yes.
For a long time, I couldn't even buy their service information because if you went through the steps, it then asked you what your address was, and if you were outside of Massachusetts, you hit a brick wall. But it's now available, I think in North America.
Nationwide,
yeah. So, and I went in, I bought a day, I think, or 3 days or whatever it was, whatever their short term was, and so I could just download all the data that I needed for my car. But you don't get all of the data, right? You get some of it. Their wiring diagrams are pretty awesome. I mean, I was impressed with that. But But moreover, yeah, they're compliant with the clean air. Or, I'm sorry, not the clean air, the right to repair stuff. And there'll be some additional things happening. I know Seth and I have talked about that OBD port. My car does not have an OBD port. It was built in 2018. These just started showing up recently, right, Seth?
May of 2020 production is the TSB. So yeah. There's a technical bulletin from Tesla. I did share that with a couple guys, but May of 2020 is the adoption of an OBD2 port with CAN.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I know exactly why that is on the car now. There is an OBD reg that has to do with in-use performance testing, and that's the Mode 9 data. And inside that Mode 9 data is also the kinetic energy and fuel consumption or energy consumption. And those are requirements now for battery electric vehicles to report. So eventually down the road, these cars are going to have to go in for an emissions inspection where they plug in the OBD port to get that data.
Is that an oxymoron here? We've got to get an emissions thing from a BEV?
They generate emissions because the grid is not 100% clean. So they are governed by the EPA. They also have to pass an EPA test for range. There is something brewing for Tesla that's a very interesting thing, that they are over-reporting their range on average by 20% compared to other EV cars because they're found a way to maximize the EPA testing.
Yeah, so like you said, it is the grid is not clean, right? So they certainly want to try to figure out where this, you know, where the energy's going, how it's being used, and so on. I can say that I generate my own fuel at home, and I've got the stats. I've got my last year's stats to show you how much energy I've consumed from home and how much I've generated. And it's basically a wash, and that's a complete year of driving this Tesla.
Including charging it at your home.
Including charging, yeah, I charge at home all the time unless I'm out on a trip somewhere, you know, where I do a supercharger. But I would say 98% of my charging is at home.
Do you sell any off to the grid?
It does go back to the grid. Okay. I have storage, so I have two 17-kilowatt our battery storage units, so I'm able to store, but I'm pretty much at a wash right now as far as energy goes. But my wife was also driving a hybrid, a plug-in hybrid, for a little while. She's not driving that anymore, but we were at one point using more. We were pulling more from the grid, but over running out over a year's time, we basically have broken even. So that's a pretty cool feeling, but I'm not sure how that Mode 9 info would report that, right? Would they just say 100% that charging has come from the grid, or would they be able to say, hey, oh, some of this may have come from
I don't know what the accurate reading will be. That'll be an interesting conversation.
What I find interesting, Scott, and I'm trying to understand this, you mean to tell me that your Tesla would know if it came from your solar panels or from the grid?
Well, it wouldn't know, but I do. My panels are actually SolarCity or now Tesla stuff. But if I look at my stats, I'm going to just pull up my stats.
While Scott's looking his stats up, well, welcome Matt Fonslow, lead diagnostician, shop manager, Riverside Automotive, Red Wing, Minnesota. Good to have you here, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
That's okay. Hey, better late than never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, man?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Here's my stat. Home usage. Okay, this is for the year 2019. 15,489 kilowatt hours. Okay, so that's 15 megawatt hours, right? 15.4. And 15.467 kilowatt hours solar energy generated.
So you used less than what you generated.
I've used we used just a hair more.
Oh, okay.
But that's fueling my car for a whole year.
Includes that. Wow.
Yeah.
What's your range on that car?
the range as far as from a fill, from a complete charge, it's rated at about 310 miles. I never charge it to 100%. You know, just basically there's a range that they suggest that you charge to. And, you know, I drive roughly 30, 36 miles a day, you know, 18 miles each way to work.
Mine's about 289, and in the winter it drops to about just over 200 if I'm lucky. Depends if it's how cold it is.
Hey, Matt, do you own a Tesla?
I don't.
I knew that answer. I think I knew
I completely wanted me on here. It must be because I'm working on SpaceX rockets. That's why.
Have you ever ridden in a Tesla, Matt?
I have.
Wait a minute. I think you were in Scott's one day, weren't you?
I can't deny it because it's on film. But
yeah, we had some fun with that. Yeah. The car was fairly new when he rode in it. So
you'll have to come up, man. And mine's got the stoplight. Mine's got the full autopilot suite, so mine's got the stoplight detection. We'll see how many stoplights it blows and stop signs it blows through.
Well, by the way, I went ahead and ordered the upgrade the other day
on the discount.
Yeah, they sent out an email just before the end of the month, end of June. They discounted the full upgrade to the hardware 3.0, which, by the way, that unit's 21 times the computing power of the 2.5 unit that I have.
I have a hardware 3 car, so I've taken it apart and looked.
Yeah, so it's a pretty amazing setup. But what's more, even more ironic, is I looked at it. My wife goes, "Oh, are you sure you can afford that?" And I said, "Well, I looked at my Tesla stock that I bought 2 years ago, and I go, holy crap, this thing is more than doubling the pay for this upgrade." So hell yes.
Okay, would you mind sharing with all of us neophytes what that upgrade would have cost, or is that too personal?
Well, it's $3,000. Yeah, it's $3,000 basically. Okay. And it's a new computer, so it has to go into service.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It's going to go into service center. That's a liquid-cooled computer on the Model 3. So they've got to, you know, drain the coolant down and swap that guy out.
Yeah, the coolest thing about Tesla, guys, is that you can do these kinds of upgrades and get yourself almost a brand-new car in performance, bells and whistles and toys, right?
Kind of. Depends on what hardware you have. So if you're an early hardware 1.5 or 1 car, AP1 or car, you cannot upgrade to the newer stuff.
You're stuck.
Yeah, you're wanting to buy a new car anyway. But it is a different experience. Last night, you know, I'm driving home, or before I got in my car, I got a message saying, "Hey, there's a software update. Do you want to schedule it? When do you want to do it? Blah, blah, blah." So I just said delay. And when I got home, I just, you know, let it do it. And I went in the house and, you know, had dinner and did my thing. And this morning I come out and I read the little notes on what it did to upgrade. And this one was pretty cool, because what they do now, you can hit a button to see the back camera. You could always do that. But now it's added the repeater cameras, which are the blind spot monitor cameras. And you can see those in real time. Right up on the screen. It's pretty slick.
Have you had yours? Have yours bricked? Has it yours bricked itself yet? Doing an update, Scott? I was the fun recipient of a completely dead car from a software upgrade.
No, you're probably in too cold of a climate. That's probably the problem.
When you say brick, you mean a dead inanimate object.
Yeah, it wouldn't power up, wouldn't do anything. It just
brick mode.
So tell us what happened there. What did you have to do to resolve that?
So initially Tesla said you have to bring it in the service center. I said, "Well, come tow it." Luckily, I was able to call in. They had me reboot my Wi-Fi router. And then on reboot, they said they could see the car and they reforced the update from their servers.
Okay.
But we all know, generally, the guys in this room and the guys listening to this podcast tend to be a little more technological savvy. We all know our average customer, as these cars reach mass adoption, is the average customer going to be able to do that?
No, they're not up to speed with the...
And that's why Tesla's going to need you guys. And I wouldn't be surprised that they qualify you guys in order to touch that vehicle.
Yeah. So let's stay on that brick event. Were you at an area where you did not have access to the cellular?
Nope. I was at my house with 300 MBS service.
Okay.
Comcast. Right. I had so
they couldn't see the car through the cellular.
They had me reboot the car. The two-scroll wheel. So you press the two wheels, and that's a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. Then they had me do the complete reboot, which is a whole different process. And then they could see it. They wanted me to reboot the router. They could see it, and they reforced the update, and it came back alive. But meanwhile, my wife's trying to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, yeah, I'm going to do the software update. And then you figure it's done. You wake up the next morning, and your car's dead.
And that's what you did? You did a night overnight, let it do it?
Yeah, I got the notification in the app. I said, okay, and I went to work. My wife gets up, and car's dead.
Oh, man, what a bummer.
So, you know, I mean, there's some challenges. I mean, other OEMs are going over the air updates. Ford said they're going to it. BMW said they're going to it. They're already rolling it out. So, I mean, we are going to see some issues.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we haven't touched on it yet, but there's the early MCU failures. Mm-hmm. I think everybody on this call got pictures of what that looks like.
Yeah, so explain what the MCU is for those watching that have no clue as to what that device is and what it does and how it's migrated to the current platforms.
So the MCU is that's your main display, but that's the hardened control of the car. When that MCU fails, you lose your app because the 4G and cell chip and everything's inside it, your Wi-Fi chip, everything. You then lose the ability to charge the car. The car still drives, but you cannot charge the car because all the charging goes through that. So once your car runs out of mileage, you're done. The problem is if that MCU gets really corrupt, there's no repair. Now, what Tesla does is they do a $1,500 refurbished unit. So they take all the old units, they stick a new chipset in because it's a removable chip. And they stick a new chipset in into the MCU Integra board. It's called the Integra board inside it. They stick a new chipset in. They rebuild it, stick an old MCU back in. It's $1,500 plus tax. What we're doing is taking the MCU apart, taking that chip out, and selling reman boards and fixing that chip. We're doing a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty on it. We're doing it for about $1,299 suggested retail, parts, labor, all said. Tesla's doing $1,500. They used to give a 12-month warranty. They've now upped their warranty at $224, but that's all they're giving on their warranty. So we're rebuilding them and fixing them, and we're actually able to sell chips to any shop anywhere in the country that wants to replace the MCU chip after they've completed a course that we're working on how to take the MCU apart so you don't damage things, which includes taking most of the dashboard out of the car. Matt's grinning because he saw some pictures. It's a process. The hard part is if the customer drives it too long and really breaks it, it crashes the hardware update, and then we need the instrument cluster to pull the backup data out of the instrument cluster to reload the chip.
So this is on this is everything but the Model 3 and the Model Y. This is the Model
MCU ones
and X, right?
Yes, early S and Xs. These are all out of warranty. And then their coming fix is possibly an MCU 2 upgrade.
Okay.
That's $2,500, but then you lose your FM radio. Because it doesn't work with the adapter harness. So what we're doing is actually essentially putting the MCU chip in. So Tesla, when they rebuild your reman, you still get the same crappy 8-gig chip that can only be ridden so many times before it locks up. So you do this, and another 60,000 to 80,000 miles, or how many times you charge, it's going to do the same thing. We put an upgraded 32-gig automotive chip in it, which has more buffering for RAM, and it makes the MCU faster, just like the newer cars, and should, in theory, last, you know, at least 2 to 3 times as long. But that's why we're confidently offering our warranty on it. We offer anybody that buys this chipset through us a 3-year parts warranty. Labor's on them, but we'll guarantee the chip for $336.
You're selling it to the end user, the owner of the car?
No, I don't play that game. I'm selling it to shops.
I should have rephrased that. You're not using that to help your customer who's coming in. You're helping the aftermarket.
Yes, and we take retail customers. We've done 3 of these MCU upgrades now. We have another one coming in. So
you're doing them in the shop, and if anyone wants to do that, they can go through you to get that hardware piece and or those chip upgrades.
Yep, as long as we're working on training, because we want to make sure they take apart the assembly right, so you don't damage something.
I'm going to say something crazy. Don't fault me for it, because the only word I could come up with is rogue. Are you rogue here?
Yeah, you could call it that. I mean, but we're rebuilding a circuit board just like people have for thousands of years on other things, you know, hundreds of years. It's one component of their chip. We're dumping their factory software back on. When we're done with it, they can get updates via Tesla. Nothing changes. They can download updates wirelessly. So, you know, if Scott had an older car, we rebuild his MCU chip. He can still get his updates with his app. We dump Tesla's firmware right back on it off the old chip.
Yeah, so what do I say? I had a customer come in tomorrow with an older, say, Model S that had this problem. I guess, what are the symptoms?
The symptoms they would complain is they intermittently lose Bluetooth. Their screen goes black periodically. Okay. Intermittent charging issues. Screens just turn off and back on. You know, anything you can imagine generally traces back to that chip with intermittent issues in the car. Anything with infotainment, charging, or autopilot type stuff, a lot of it comes back to the control through that MCU, because the original MCU controls most of your autopilot stuff.
Okay. And you guys are also providing some level of support. So if I call you guys up and say, hey, you know, I got this car, it's doing this and that, and you go, yep, it's got to be the MCU, then what do I do from there?
Then that's what the training comes in. We're going to teach you how to take apart the dash carefully. Because the problem is you have to, and Tesla's warranty, even their repair instructions and labor time, do not pay to remove the whole dash. They pay you to pop the dash up and get the screws out. But if you don't tape it, and you, like on the newer facelift S's, there's a nice little chrome trim on the, and if you hit that trim and kink it, it's $600. Because you got to buy a whole new upper dash, and you got to spend another 3.5 hours pulling the rest of the upper dash out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're trying to provide some training on what screws go where, how to take that apart, how to avoid damaging the dash, because we don't want Scott or Matt or somebody to buy a chip and then go, well, I just damaged a $600 dash.
So you're putting together a program. You're working on assembling a support program, correct?
We're working on trying to qualify shops, is my intention of, okay, you've taken the training to, you know, whether it be virtual or whatever, just understand that you know how this comes apart. You know, since you're working on a very high-tech computer circuit board, you understand anti-static. You understand you have to ground yourself. You have to touch the outside of the board so you don't shock and damage the control unit. You have to understand that you're dealing with electric circuit boards, so you can't just take an impact and run the screws back down in the circuit board. That you understand these things so that you have a successful repair of the circuit.
So now I've got this car. Do I need to send this board to you?
We'll send you a new board. So you call me and say, I got this appointment coming in. We send you a board with a core charge. Mm-hmm. A hefty core charge, because I need the board back to solder new chips in, and you send me the board back and you get your core back.
Okay. Awesome.
As long as you don't damage the board. I mean, just like any core, right?
Right.
Break that board or do something dumb with that board, I can't give you your core back.
Understood. And I'm sure when you vet your shops, you're going to, you know, deal with.
But you're only going to do it if they've gone to the training. You're only going to work with somebody. And by that time, they probably will know how to give you a good solid board that isn't broken.
That's hopefully the idea, but you know, again, I'm a very upfront guy, and if you give me a core back that's not usable, then I can't give you a core charge back.
Understood.
You know, I have a third party company that's working on some of the back end of this stuff to do the rebuilds, and so, you know, we're just trying to get the stuff out there and let guys get into them. You know, there's some other things on the back side of it that we're working on that we can't talk about now, but there is abilities to turn salvage supercharging back on and some of the things that Tesla tries to disable, a la Rich rebuilds and some of the stuff that he's complained about. We have ways to do some of that. but it's a touchy subject. So right now we're just working on making the car go back to how Tesla built the car, back to stock, everything works, no issues.
Marketing. Are you telling your customer base that you work on Teslas, and is it all word of mouth? What's coming to you?
So it's word of mouth. We work through the local Minnesota Tesla Club in Minnesota that has 2,800 members. We, since January when we started launching that we're going full bore in the Tesla service, I have done 15 alignments, 7 brake service changes, 4 door handles, 3 MCU repairs. We have a Tesla coming in with a dead AC compressor. So we'll probably do an AC compressor repair and recharge. We have coolant modules that are failing on them. I don't know if you guys have seen that. There's a coolant Y module that does a Y and it fails. Tesla specs no coolant change on their cars. We're seeing at 4 to 5 years on some of these cars some really acidic coolant. And so we're starting to recommend some preventative outside of Tesla recommendations coolant service due to how hot and contaminated some of the coolant's getting. Tesla recommends every 2 years on the S's, 3 years on the X's, that you suck all the refrigerant out, change the desiccant pack, and do a complete AC service to prevent some of the AC failures. So there is significant service, not, I shouldn't say significant, but there is maintenance opportunities on the cars. There is repair opportunities in control arms. We're doing Model S's and X's. Control arms are failing left and right, especially in warm climates. Scott, you'll start seeing them. If you start advertising it, you'll get squeaking and creaking when they hit the acceleration and brake. You'll get a squeak creak. That's almost always the lower forward control arm. They use like an 8-link kind of Audi suspension. Okay. So lowered forward control arm, bottom ball joint. That's going to be your creak and squeak on a lot of those. Sometimes it's the upper, but I mean, you guys know how to diag that. I mean,
you can't just order up a Moog ball joint, huh?
Moog problem solver.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but yes, I have a bunch of bad control arms that have been given to some aftermarket vendors.
Okay.
All right. To see what we can produce.
Yeah. So like, you know, Carm was asking in the beginning, hey, what is this a sign of what's to come? I think that there's a lot of evolution yet to take place.
That's what I'm hearing, Scott.
Yeah.
It's called re-engineering.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be evolution on our end. And then I think you're going to see the other car manufacturers piggybacking on what Tesla is doing, just with the car in general, with customization, personalization type things. We see it a little bit, but not to the extent we're seeing with Tesla, where you could customize your car to your personality.
I think they're called microtransactions, where you can subscribe to the features in the car. Is that, does Tesla have that?
A little bit. You can buy what you want. You can buy connectivity. They hit you pretty hard for some of the upgrades.
Yeah, and it would be interesting, and I guess we might know the answer already, but I'll just say it. I'll phrase it this way, that if it doesn't end up very much like a lot of video games where you get mods and some are put out by the manufacturer and some aren't.
Yeah, there's going to be some interesting stuff. I mean, the other thing with Tesla service, as Scott can attest to, when it works nice through the app. When it fails, you cannot get a person on the phone. You can't call somebody. It's all digital.
Yeah, unless you know somebody. Actually, I had a situation where one of my guys, he had a warning light come on for the airbag, something wrong with the airbag system. So there was no voice communication. I texted the professor over at the local college here, and I said, hey, I got my my colleague's car's got this light on. Can you tell me what's going on? Here's the VIN number. And it was 10 minutes later, he texts me back. He says, yeah, there's the driver's seat side airbag circuit problem. And he said, I saw that the car just had a software update and want to make sure that there isn't a bug that was planted. So he forced another software update. And he told me to tell the customer or my colleague to get connected to Wi-Fi and get the car to download a new software update, which he did. The next day, the professor texted me back and said, hey, I logged back into the car. I see the fault is still there. Need to basically get that car into service. And it ended up being a harness connection underneath the thing. And Tesla knew about it. But it was kind of an interesting cycle there, right, on how the analytics went down remotely. This is the future, guys. We're living it. It's pretty cool.
Scott, harness issues are not uncommon. Your Model 3 with backup camera, you start losing your backup camera, look for corrosion through the rear taillight harness into your LVDS line. We're starting to see that.
I live in Southern California, remember.
It still rains.
This is what's so interesting. You guys are talking best practice right here, you know. And if there was a harness available through a very quick way, I mean, the Tesla customer would be so happy that in one day you could get the harness, put it in, and fix it.
The sub-harnesses are available. If you look at the wiring diagrams, you'll see the sub-harnesses. Scott said he looked at some wiring diagrams. You'll see the sub-harnesses.
But it takes 8 hours for you guys to figure out how to order it.
Yeah.
That's what Scott described there, I mean, I could be off here, but offhand, the only manufacturer that scenario pops into my head where you would look and say, hey, you just recently had a firmware update, we should either backdate it or see if there's another update to do. That screams Mercedes to me. Nobody else really does it that way. And then with the over-the-air updates, that's going to become much more prevalent. Where did a bug get added? Now the first step isn't let's track down this, hardware fault. We got to start with firmware first, and it might involve rolling it back one update, or is there a newer update to fix this bug, a bug report? How recent did this happen?
That goes back to who owns the information. I think Carm's had shows about this. I don't know that you guys have been aware, but BMW in Europe, you can assign your data, your car to an independent. They just opened that up in North America as a process. So as they start doing over-the-air updates, a customer could assign me as a third-party access to that same data.
Man, things are a-changing, guys. This was, we could go on for probably 2 hours, but I'd love to put a pin in it and take up a part two one day when you guys are up to giving up some more information.
After actually, buy the Tesla.
Yeah, when Mac, you have to buy a Tesla in order to be in this club. I guess so do
Matt,
I.
Matt, why don't you give us your boss's phone number? We're going to plug some ideas in his head. Okay,
that's easy. It's 651.
I'd love to have an update, Seth, as you continue to move through all these great ideas, you're spearheading some brand new stuff for the aftermarket. I've always said entrepreneurialism, capitalism, nature will find a way. Well, it looks like you are.
I'm not afraid of it. You can't be afraid of the future. Everybody's worried about what's going to happen and auto repair coming to an end, and these cars need to be fixed.
You're making it happen. Hey, thanks. Any final words, Scott, Matt?
If you look at the marketplace out there today, it's like over 70% of the cars in the fleet get fixed in the aftermarket. So there's no way that these Teslas are going to avoid the aftermarket, right? We're going to eventually get there. And I just really hope that Tesla comes on board and says, hey, you know, we've got to work with some guys. I know that they're already working with the collision shops. They've got some angles there, but it's a complex space here, and I look forward to learning more, especially through Seth. Seth is doing a heck of a lot of research, and he's got some folks in his back pocket that are helping him mine through all of this technology, and I'm certainly going to keep my ear close to the ground here to listen to see what happens.
So, Matt, when you moving to New Brighton?
I don't know.
hey, Eden Prairie's coming online soon.
Yeah.
Store three coming online soon here.
Store three. Yeah. Thanks, Seth. Thorson.
My addition was going to be that Tesla might want to find a different source of microcontrollers, because what we're seeing on the rockets is very similar. Microcontroller failures.
Rockets, right. Yes.
Yeah. They're not landing on those drone ships quite elegantly anymore.
No, and that's, we're working on it.
They can only make 4 trips around the moon before their processor locks up.
Seth Jordan from Eurotech, Scott Brown from Connie and Dixon, Diag.net, and Matt Fonslow, Riverside Automotive, Red Wing, Minnesota. Thanks, guys. This is great.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.